bless our time together in the Word. Amen. You ever think about, you know, I was thinking about that. We do the gospel reading for our chapel for the kids. Same gospel reading, you know, the daily gospel reading and stuff. How weird John the Baptist. I mean, you know, why couldn't the Lord pick somebody a little more clean cut and, you know, to give his word? And this guy with camel's hair, I mean, I guess a camel skin on, you know, that ate bugs and honey, you know. Probably people went to talk to him and little, you know, bug legs sticking out, you know, of his mouth and stuff. So I thought, that is just really gross. So my thoughts are going to this today. And I thought, man, that, and it's just so like God to raise up somebody like that, right? Because if you got to go listen to somebody like that, you know, and you're repenting, that means you're serious about your walk with God, right? If it doesn't cost you anything, then it's probably not the Lord. And I remember years ago, there was a pastor that came through here, one of the, I'm not going to tell you which church it is. I do know which church it is, but I'm not going to tell you. He wanted to meet me in, he wanted to talk about more of the Spirit and stuff like that, but he wanted to meet me in Orville and not in Selma, because he didn't want to be seen meeting with me in Selma, right? And I told him no. I mean, it just flew all, one of those things that just kind of fly over you, but you know it's the Lord, you know? And I wasn't about, my feelings were hurt or anything. I thought, no way, you know? If you're not willing to pay a price, if you're not willing to walk away, or you're not willing to do whatever it takes to get more, to go out, you know, a bunch of people are going out to meet with him, right? Then you'll never get it. You know, you'll never get all the Lord wants you to if you're not willing to pay a price. And if the praise of man or the fear of man is down in you, you know, you got to let the Lord get that out. And so I just love that. I mean, you read through, these are some weird Isaiah, you know, walked around without any clothes on for 3 years, you know, and it was God's word, and just did goo, laying down on his side, digging a hole through a wall. And I just think it's hilarious to me. But you know, it got people's attention, and it got those, like Jesus, when he could have, you know, when you read through the gospels, you're thinking, oh man, maybe you should have said that differently. And you know, you would have won more people over. But that's not what he was trying to do. He said things and people would walk away from him. You know, especially in John chapter 6, when he was talking about he was the bread that came out of heaven, and people who ate of him, they knew what he was talking about. And it said, and the many walked away from him, you know, and then he looked at his guys and said, hey, you want to leave too? And, you know, Peter said, where else do we have to go? You're it. And so he would say things like taking up your cross and use people and say things in parables. So people would have to, if you say something in a parable, that means you have to come back and say, now, what exactly do you mean by that? I heard what you said, but I have no idea what you mean by that. What do you mean by that? And so it means you press in more to hear what God is saying. And that's the reason it said Jesus spoke that. Those, you know, those that could see and hear couldn't see and hear, meaning that they would have to seek it out even more. And the disciples would come to him and say, Jesus, what exactly did you mean by what you said? And then he told them that he gave them the ability to know and understand the mysteries of God, those that press in, right? We all have that ability, if you press in, to know what God is saying. Jesus said, if any man is willing to do my will, he'll know the teaching, right? So if I'm not willing to pay a price, especially here in Selma, a social price, then I'm not going to get all that God wants for me, or has for me, right? And I don't want to get to heaven, because we talk about the kingdom of heaven. It's here, you know, we're going to go there one day. And, you know, I want it to be so alike when I go, you know, there's just one more step I made that day, because I'm so used to living in that reality of the kingdom. So part of that kingdom living, or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is about how the Lord uses this analogies, metaphors, you know, all of them, you know, about the same thing, just one little word makes them different, but descriptions about his word being like a sword, or his Revelation 19 talks about a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. It says this in Isaiah, one of the prophecies about Jesus. Righteousness will, it's all these things about him, you know, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the whole seven spirit things, wisdom, understanding, counsel. And it says, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. I was talking about Jesus. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, the word of his, the power of his words. And the breath of his lips will slay the wicked. You know, one thing I heard years ago that, you know, scripture says that if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us, right? That is not, it's not volume that sets free, right? It's not how loud we get. The faith with which we say it. Or, you know, if I have to get, it's okay if I get loud, because if I'm passionate getting loud, that's one thing, but it's not my volume that the devil runs from, it's faith that he runs from, right? And when we are, when the Lord speaks, it said that by the breath of his mouth, the wicked will be slain. He will slay the wicked with just his breath. That's not very, that's just like when he blew on the Holy Spirit, you know, with the word of the Lord, with his breath, he slays the wicked. Because Sunday I was seeing this vision, and it was like a person that had a sword in their hand, and surrounding them was like they were in a this type of thicket with vines everywhere, you know, and they're just swinging wildly and madly to get set free, right? And sometimes we think that's how it is, that we have the scripture, the word, and we just get in there and start slinging and cutting, that we got to cut ourselves free from something. When in reality, we hear this all the time, we are free, right? What really happens between that little thing of freedom and victory and captivity is just like glasses being lifted, or you have these dark or shades over your eyes, or those things that you sleep with where you can see no light, going from that to the reality of truth, right? And many times, to accomplish that in our lives, we do join with him with our voice, and we declare the word of the Lord, even if it's with the breath of our mouth, even if it's with the breath, we're speaking, declaring truth. Truth sets us free, right? We don't have to, Jesus already did it, so we're not, it's not like we're in these places where we're having to just, everything's wrapped around us, we're having to fight so hard to get out of there. We hear this all the time, that we fight from a place of victory and truth. And when we go from one victory to the next, or one freedom to the next, all we've done is to come in just to a greater reality. Most of the time, it's just that we've repented from believing lies. That's all it is. And I use this one all the time with people. I read it years ago. It's like you feel like you're in some type of cell, your captivity, and you're holding onto these bars, right? But you look behind you, and to the right, and to the left, and there's only bars right in front of you, right? It's just your perception. You think you're in prison, but you're really not. It's freedom all around you, right? That's just a perception. When you start, so speaking and declaring truth is you're speaking what you believe. Paul said, I believe, therefore I spoke, or I speak. I speak as I believe. And this is in, I'll just read a few verses for you. This is in Isaiah 49. And this is again about Jesus, but remember, we're in union with him. The Lord called me from the womb and from the body of my mother. He named me. Personal words too, but all of these me's and my are capitalized. So it's meaning us, a prophetic word about Jesus. And it said, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he concealed me, and he made me like a select arrow, hid me in his quiver. And it's all about the Lord just firing him in there, setting free. But again, his word is like his mouth is this sharp sword, right? It's Jesus. It's not us swinging a sword. It's Jesus, right? He's the word of truth. He is the sword. That's what I'm saying. So he slays enemies by that. I'll read a few more. Just so many scriptures in here that's about that. One is in Hosea 6. He talks about... therefore, I have hewn them to pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, right? Using the prophets, speaking my words. He's talking about slaying the enemy, you know, killing the giant. This one is in, no, not that one. It's a familiar one we'll end with Ephesians 6 about that. There's one in 2 Thessalonians 2. We don't read a lot, all right, too many verses from that. Said, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end the appearance of his coming. This is talking about the prophetic future thing about the Lord coming in. And again, slaying the enemy with his very breath, you know, breath, Holy Spirit, but also just his word, by the words of his mouth. That's all he's got to do is speak, right? That's how he cast out demons. He just told them to come out, right? With his mouth came a sword and did business. And this is a familiar one again, Hebrews 4, where the word of God is living and active. You know, it talks about that as sharper than any two-edged sword. The whole context of Hebrews 3 and 4, again, is moving from a place of unbelief to belief, the sin of unbelief. And the Lord just using his word, the sword, to cut that division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, right? To expose that, you know, to any lies that we've been listening to or we're ensnared by, the breath of his mouth, the word of his mouth sets it free. So I've seen people do that. I've seen people, you know, get loud, and, you know, I've had people walk around my house before seven times with banners, literally, shouting and stuff like that. Kind of the Lord told us to do that, and it was awesome. It was one of the healings I had from some bone spur that was on some vertebrae that the Lord totally healed. You know, and got a call from the surgeon, neurosurgeon, that they were all gone. You know, stuff like cool little stuff like that, where Wednesday night when we come together, we're just joining our voice with the breath of his mouth. Speaking and declaring truth, right? We're not having to whack through a bunch of stuff where over us and stuff, all these, again, I just keep seeing this because it's pictures in my mind, all these vines and all this dark stuff all over us, you know? We're just coming into a greater reality of truth, you know, and speaking that. And there's, you know, I love this in Revelation, three different places. This one, 16 says, in his right hand, he's held seven stars. This is John's, you know, when he saw Jesus. I'll read the verse behind that. It's describing him. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, which has been made to glow in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in strength. When I saw this, I fell as a dead man. And he placed his hand on me and said, you know, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. That was Jesus. Powerful picture of Jesus. But think about that you're always hearing the scripture about being in Christ. Think about this person that, this is the person that you're in, right? So if we're in him and he's in us, he lives in us, we're in him, we're actually inside him and he's us. This is the one we're in, right? Of this picture of this flames of fire, the two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, right? Freeing us and setting us free where we're really already free. So this person is not, he's not wrapped with a bunch of stuff, is he? He's free. This is then chapter 2. It's another revelation. This is the word to Pergamum and to the Nicolaitans, which had come in and just kind of false doctrine, spread a bunch of stuff, and therefore repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will wage war with them with the sword of my mouth again against the enemy. And I'll read the one in Revelation. We'll stop with there. And this is the scene of the coming of Christ and him coming, which is really cool. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems. He has a name written on them which no one else knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty against enemies. His enemy, right? What a powerful, I mean, what an awesome and powerful vision of this one that we're in, whose mouth is like that on our behalf. And how cool it is that he uses our mouth to, just as it said in Scripture, the mouth of his prophets, the mouth of his people, the body of Christ, to speak and declare. And so we're speaking and declaring, again, what he says is true, what he says is reality. Right in my life, and again, you've heard me say this. And Saturday, TC and I were having to go somewhere, and after the funeral, and so we spent the whole time going there. We had to go to Prattville to pick up something, and we just spent the whole time letting the Lord use our mouths and our tongues, our words, speaking and declaring His word over our lives and His promises over, right? Knowing that, and thinking of all this scripture, you know, what it does now. Can things be held up because of battle and warfare? Absolutely, right? But when this guy shows up on the scene here, we read about with flames of fire and burnished bronze and, you know, voice like the sound of Niagara. That's what it was like in the heavens when we were speaking, our little voices. And so it will shake things loose and it will cause things to happen. So it's not my how loud I say it or whatever. If you say it loud, good. TC gets loud. It's the faith. They respond by faith, right? And so by faith, we were just speaking these words. We're declaring things. And you could just sense movement and shifting. Now I'll end with this. I was, I don't know how I got on this. You know, you can subscribe to all these YouTube channels. And I don't know how I got on this one, but it was just this guy who pretty much all he does is talk to Christians who have had a death experience and have come back. And one particular guy I was just listening to, a lot of similarities with him, and he was in a hospital, went in for, it was just a minor thing they were doing, you know, went into cardiac arrest and just talking about his experience. And he said he was just kind of moving toward the Lord. He kept seeing these things fly by him like, pew. And he said it was almost a twinkling of an eye. He was just in the presence of the Lord, you know, like, wham. But there was things going by him that was faster than him getting there. And when he asked the Lord what they were, he said, it's the prayers of the saints. And he said, I saw how powerful our prayer, how fast they go, at what speed they get there. And he said that's what changed him more than the experience, is how he was like, oh my gosh, man, look at the intercession of prayers of the people. You know, the power, we talked about that, you know, bishops talked about that, you know, bringing thunder and lightning down on the earth. It's the real truth to that. But part of that is, again, for you and for me, as we're moving into this time, and I just keep seeing, having dreams right and left of fertile ground and planning and speaking, the importance of declaring God's promises. And then you hear all these other prophetic people saying the kind of the same thing. It's a time where you just start speaking about you've been silent too long, about your own life, and thinking about, Lord, what all have you spoken to me about, where I want to be? And then the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, right? The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit are put in there together. And finally, it said the helmet of salvation is the mind and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. So important, right? And always between the truth and error, there's a fine line. They're just right next to each other. Such a difference, you know, between this, the whole word of faith thing and the faith of your words. The difference. The enemy, you know, kind of gets that. Like, if I proclaim it, or if it didn't happen, it's because I didn't speak it, or I didn't believe enough, or no, nonsense. It's the one who is speaking, is Jesus, right? And speaking over my life. So I feel things shaking and moving within me and our lives, you know, even toward my this bringing this to a finality with me, healing and stuff. And anything that's been held up in the second heavens is they're getting blasted, right? And the one sitting on the white horse with fire in his eyes is moving. So Lord, I pray for y'all. God, I pray for every person here and every word that's been ever declared over them, over their lives, their families. Lord, this Christ the King, Lord, I've been here for forever. And so many words about being a healing center and all these different things. Lord, seeing everything spoken, we speak your word every day to these people. Lord, thank you, the power of the spoken word, the breath, just the very breath slays the wicked. Lord, thank you that we get to participate in that. So Lord, move us from glory to glory, revelation to revelation, place to place. And don't find a people, Lord, who are shrinking back with fear, but Lord, who are, as David, just running after Lord Goliath, that we're actually pursuing your promises. We're pursuing you, your presence. Thank you, Lord. So I pray, stir that up in everybody. In Jesus' name.